Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Internet Insanity, where we really show our age talking about TikTok and Facebook. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 112. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
What's going on with you this week with your pregnancy and your little boy?
Well, I'm 11 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my NIPT results back.
Oh, yes. And?
Everything's healthy. No extra chromosomes.
Yay!
And one of those chromosomes is a Y.
What does that mean?
It's an XY.
What does that mean? Boy?
Yeah.
You're having another boy.
I knew it. I kind of knew it too. Ever since my stupid cat. Okay, so for people who don't know, I tried to adopt a girl cat, named her Ladybird, and then went to go get her spayed, and they were like, "Oh, there's hidden balls in here." I was like, "Yeah, I'm just destined to be surrounded by boys."
Oh, so here we are. Gosh, that's so funny. Everybody I know has boys. Like, I have no close friends with daughters, really.
Wow,
if you're listening to this and you're my close friend, you have a daughter, forgive me. My brain is dead. But really, like, everyone just is having two boys. Oh, well, that's awesome.
The
brothers, that's so cool. And, like, Corey has a brother, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
and, well,
sweet.
And that's the other reason I knew, because, like, his family does not produce girls. At all.
Interesting.
So it was one of those things where, like, I have to admit, I kind of wanted one of each just for the fun of it. But it's a good reminder that gender is a construct.
Yes.
And you don't know.
So that,
like,
means you want all my girl clothes hand-me-downs anyway, right?
Why not, right? Why hold back? And that is another benefit. I don't have to buy any more clothes. Like, I don't have, not that, you know, I necessarily would have, because a lot of his clothes are not, like, you know, they have fire trucks and stuff on them, but girls can wear fire truck stuff too. But, you know, it's just like, you really don't have to even think about it. So that's a silver lining. And, you know, I think I make pretty good boys. So
I think so too. Aww,
and also, I should say, I'm going to use male pronouns for now, but if he changes his mind, you know, I mean, he might not be a boy. So, for all we know. But there is an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, so that usually means there will be a penis and a testicles.
Let's just roll with that until proven otherwise.
Yeah, so we're just going to, like what I'm doing with my current son, you know, we're just sort of assuming boy unless he tells us otherwise. And we do sort of sprinkle in things like, I got this book for Father's Day for my husband and for the baby that was like a personalized book that like was like his name. You'll always be my little boy. And like the little cartoon characters in it look like Corey and my baby. And it's really cute. And I was like, when we first read it, I was like, you'll always be my little boy unless you tell me otherwise. And that is totally fine. Like, I'm always like sprinkling stuff in there like that. So who knows?
Aw, that's cute.
But
well, how did Corey react when you guys got the news about boy?
I think, you know, we both were the same. He was sort of like, oh, you know, it would have been nice to have a girl too, but you can't choose. And, you know, there's nothing.
Yeah.
We're both sort of on team healthy baby. We always have been. I think it's also, you set yourself up for a lot of disappointment if you really have one, you know, sex that you're aiming for, because you can't choose. I mean, I guess you could have with your IVF, right? If you wanted to.
Yes. Yes. I totally could have if I wanted to see that information ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah. But
crazy.
We couldn't doing it the old fashioned way. So, yeah. But, you know, it's good. I make good little boys so far. So,
The best news is you can finally use the name August.
I know. You know what's so funny? I told my mom, and she the first thing she said was like, "Oh no, I wanted a girl." I'm like, "Thanks a lot, mom."
Of course.
And then she said, "You can't name him August. Please don't name him August." So now it's the running joke. I think the fetus's nickname is going to be August at least the whole pregnancy.
I love how she just. Yes, I love how she's, like, still hanging on to that this long after the fact. Like,
just such... And then she said Augustus would be okay. I'm like, what? What is wrong? She has an irrational hatred of... But I should make it clear. I love the name August. I'm sure there are people
totally
out there
cute.
Listening who've named their children August, and I think it's great. We ran into an August out at the park the other day, who was like a month older than my baby. And I was like, oh, I almost named my baby August. You know, I didn't share about my mom's hatred of the name.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, it's a boy for now.
Yay. Very cute. Yes. Can't wait.
Sorry I couldn't make a little girl for your little girls to play with, though.
I know. That's okay. That's okay. They're all going to have fun anyway.
It's all Corey's fault anyway. He's the one who, his little sperm decides, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wash my hands of the situation.
All right. Well, I'll call him later and have a chat about that. Well, that's super fun. I'm excited for you. But what else is going on this week? I know that can't be all.
Okay, so I have a couple other things going on this week with my pregnancy and my toddler. I'm going to try to keep it short. But there was something that happened this week regarding my pregnancy that I really want to talk about.
Okay, I'm curious.
Because it completely took me by surprise. Mm-hmm. And I want to share my experience so other people can know that this is a thing that happens.
Oh, boy.
So I woke up in the morning after a full night's sleep. Thank you, sleep training. And I went to go pee, and I knew I like really had to go pee because I, you know, pregnant, making a lot, you know, I drink a lot of water, very well hydrated. And I go to the bathroom and sit down, and I could not pee. Like,
what?
My urine was completely blocked. Nothing I did would make it come out. And I started to kind of like panic a little.
Yeah, I would panic too. What the heck?
I was just like, what? Like, I know there's a lot of pee in there, and I don't know what's going on. So I sort of instinctually started thinking about relaxing. I was like, okay, maybe I'm like stressed. Maybe it's something like that. Uh-huh. And then I also started thinking about like the physics of like a big uterus and where I started Googling like where the uterus sits like in relation to the bladder, and I was like, maybe it's like pinching my urethra or something.
Oh my god.
So I started like doing like breathing exercises. I like got up and walked around a little bit and kind of like tugged up on my like belly to see if I could like alleviate some of the pressure. And then I sat back down, and after like the first like 10 seconds, it was like a tiny little trickle, and then it was like a fire hose.
Oh,
it was crazy.
My God.
And I had a lot of pee in there. So I was like, what the hell? Like, what is this about?
Yeah.
And I start Googling. I would have saved it for what I Googled, but I wanted to make sure everyone knew about this. And I found this article that was like, what happens when you're pregnant and can't pee at night? And I was like, well, that sounds about right, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a blog post by a woman who basically had this same problem, but at night. And she discovered a thread on BabyCenter that was like an epically long thread of other women who have had the same problem. And it turns out that it's like a first trimester problem that like, especially if you have a tilted uterus, which my doctor hasn't said anything about this to me, but who knows, that the uterus can like press on the bladder and like basically what I kind of thought, like pinch the urethra or make it so that that urine can't flow out.
Oh my gosh.
And it can actually be like an emergency. So, you know, there's a lot of women who said they ended up in the ER and had to get a catheter and all this stuff. And apparently it happens in the first trimester because later your uterus starts moving out of your pelvis and like shifts and isn't putting the same kind of pressure. So what the woman who wrote the blog post, which I'll find a link and post it in our show notes, what she said was that her solution was not to let her bladder get too full. So she actually set alarms at night to like force herself to get up and pee.
Oh no.
Which I was like, I'm not setting alarms, but what I'll do is like, I always wake up and contemplate it at some point and then like decide I can wait. So just, I just decided like, if I wake up, I'm going to go. And it's what I started doing. And I never had the problem again.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so strange. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So there is a condition that's actually a serious condition that you should make sure you don't have, which is called having an impacted uterus, which means that your uterus like is trying to move out of your pelvis and it's stuck for some reason or something.
Oh.
This is my interpretation of a lot of Googled articles, but basically your uterus can't expand where it needs to, and it can actually cause some serious problems, including miscarriage. So if this is happening to you, like, if it continues to happen or it's getting worse, you should definitely talk to your doctor you know?
Yeah.
But for me, because just emptying my bladder more cured it, mm-hmm. I decided, you know, it's probably something I'll just bring up at my next appointment.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'll post the link to the article and the link to the thread on Baby Center because it was super fascinating and apparently happens to a lot of us. So,
wow. All right. Good to know. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. So I can pee again. That's
yay.
Good.
I have to say, I do not miss the pregnancy pee urgency situation. God.
No.
The worst.
Yeah. It's not
so what
fun.
Else?
But yeah. So on the toddler front, just a few little updates. So you know how when my baby was a newborn, we got that Owlet monitor that monitored his oxygen and heart rate?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a little sock he wears. So 18 months later, we have finally stopped using the Owlet.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised he tolerated it for that long.
I think he just didn't know a life without it.
Yes, a fish in water.
And the only reason we stopped is because it kind of stopped taking a charge and it was being finicky. And Corey was like, well, should we return it or like try to get a replacement? I was like, no. Like, we probably should have stopped using this a long time ago. It's my anxiety crutch. So I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to be like, okay, he's 18 months old. I should say he's 18 months and 3 weeks old. And he doesn't need it anymore.
Okay.
The kid can walk and climb and talk.
Yes. He's
got a lot of strength, so he's probably not going to suffocate himself on the one teddy bear he has in his crib, I hope.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So it was just my anxiety crutch. I also liked it for tracking his sleep. Like, you could see if he had a bad night based on how much movement he had. But, you know,
gotta let go.
And so there's just one other update, which is a cute alert. I feel like we should be like, cute alert.
Okay, like,
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The cute things are... kiddos are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So his new adorable thing is that when we are getting him ready for bedtime, Corey and I, since we're in quarantine, Corey's home for every bedtime, which is great. And so we, like, after all the routine is done, the final thing is we turn the lights off and, you know, one of us is holding him and kind of like getting him to put his head on our shoulder and trying to calm down a little bit before we place him in the crib. And now... he, like, picks his head up, looks at both of us, and will, like, grab both Corey and me. Like, you know, we're already close to him. He'll, like, put his hands behind both of our heads and make Corey and I kiss.
Oh,
like, he wants...
cause,
like,
that
we're both
is
giving...
too cute.
Isn't it so cute? Because we're both giving him kisses, you know? And then he, like, but he's insisting on us, like, giving each other a kiss.
That is so sweet. I swear to God, my girls get jealous if I kiss Steve. If I kiss anyone other than them, they're just like, so I can't see them doing that. And I love that he's doing it.
Yeah, it is just the sweetest thing. Corey was like, okay, dude, like, why do you want to see us? Because I was like, it's sweet. He knows we love each other and he wants it. It's like, we're all a family. Don't
think
it weird.
Yeah, so weird. Yeah, I think it's important for our kids to see us showing affection to our partners. So,
yeah, I agree.
You know, just don't fully make out tongues down each other's throat. Or do. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your level
We're not
of comfort.
Doing that. We're not big PDA people anyway. So, but it is very sweet and it just warms my heart. And it just makes me happy that he's happy to see us all.
Yeah.
All happy together, so.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's it for me. It's been kind of a big week.
Yeah.
So I want to hear about your week. How old is that little toddler of yours?
She is 19 months and 2 weeks, and I did something very unexpected this week. I am still in shock that we did this.
Okay.
It was completely spontaneous. We transitioned Cece from her crib to a toddler bed.
What?
I know. It's bananas, right? Still, I'm just like, what? Why? Why did we? Okay.
I want to know. I want to know all the who, what's, when, where, why, how, everything.
I got to kind of analyze it because
let's work through it.
I'm not 100% sure. Okay. So I recall an episode a while back. Maybe it was like a Stump the New Mom trivia question or something about, like, you can technically transition your baby to a toddler bed around 18 months, like safely, according to the AAP, right? And I remember commenting on that, like, oh, if you're like a crazy person who just likes to self-inflict harm on yourself. And I was just all judgy about that. And here I am. And I mean, she's just turned 19 months. So I think the beginning of it came when Elle, who's four, has been very obsessed lately with being a baby. Like she, I don't know if it's like kind of the quarantine working on her, or just spending so much time now at home with us and Cece and just like wanting to get the kind of attention that she gets. I'm not sure. But she's really, really been obsessed with this idea and taking it to the point where she like climbs into the crib and is like, I want a crib. I want a crib. Mommy, make my bed a crib and all this stuff. And so me, Steve, Cece, and Elle were all in Cece's room one morning and Elle was in there complaining about the crib and all this stuff. And I just like a light bulb in my brain went off and I was like, oh, Steve, I just got a crazy idea. I was like, what if we just transition that crib to a toddler bed so there's no more crib anywhere in this house and she can't like be obsessed with it? And he's like, sure, why not? So about 30 minutes later, we're deconstructing the crib. It's one of those convertible ones, you know, like you take the front bars off and put on like just a really, really low little barrier that they can't, so they can't roll off the bed, basically.
Yeah.
And that was that. And so then what I really had to analyze was like, why did I feel like this was okay to do at this age, right? Why did I have this impetus? And so here's what I think I realize is that, you know, like I've been mentioning, she's just becoming so independent. You know, she hasn't been climbing out of her crib, but she like wants to climb in it. She really tries. She loves to do things herself. And I guess I just had a sense of like, I think she'll like this. She'll like being able to get in and out of that bed by herself. And it will serve her personality. And also, she likes going to bed. You know, I've never had the problem of like putting her to bed. It's always, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with night terrors is the problem.
But yeah.
She goes down easily. So I guess I wasn't like freaked out about if I tried to put her down, if she would like run around or escape or, you know, hurt herself in her bedroom. And turns out, like, it's been okay. Like,
really?
Yes, I put her down and she still loves it. I put a little blanket in there for her. So she snuggles her little blanket. She's got her pillow, her buddies, you know, a couple books. It's like just her cozy little place and she really likes it. And for the most part, she stays put. It's shocking.
That's shocking to me. It's also just like inconceivable to me right now because my guy needs those bars, not to keep him not to like keep him from escaping, but like he flops around at night like no one's business. Every time we turn on the monitor to like check what he's up to, he's in a different position. Like I found him with his like legs up vertical in the corner, you know, with him like fast asleep on his back. I'll occasionally get woken up by like something clanging against the bars and I realize it's like his head.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Doesn't wake him up, but so it's just so hard for me to believe that he would be okay. So it's really cool that Cece's doing well with it.
Yeah, I was really surprised. And yes, it's such a child by child basis. You know, it never even occurred to me to do that with Elle. But it just felt like the right thing to do and the right time to do it. And it's just like, well, let's just see. And I mean, it wasn't perfect right away. You know, it was a little bit rocky for the first few days. And I definitely had a day where I was like, oh my God, should we put the bars back on? Did we do the right thing? And I'm like, no, let's just stick with it another couple days. And by the end of the week, it was like, okay, it's cute. She gets up in the morning or from her nap when she's done sleeping, hops out of her little bed, comes to her door and like knocks on the door like, mama, help. And I put a lot more toys in her room. So if she does get up, you know, she can come and play or whatever. And the other thing that really pushed me to make this decision was I was thinking, I don't know where I got this idea. It's not like I've read this anywhere or anything. I was just like, maybe it'd be easier to just transition her now while she's young, impressionable, agreeable. Because transitioning when they're later is a little more challenging. Like, you know, when we transitioned Elle at about 2.5 or so, there was a lot more like getting up out of bed, coming out, like knowing she could get up and like this new situation, come out and see us and blah, blah, blah. And it was more work, really, because we had to like train her to stay in there. But Susie already likes her bed. She likes being in there. She doesn't have a concept of like coming out of the room to get us yet.
Sure.
And so I was like, maybe it'd be easier now. Like, she'll just take to it. And I think that theory is playing out. But again, I think it is because of my baby. You know, she doesn't move much in her crib like your guy does.
Yeah. I mean, it's just full on like tentacles everywhere, like flopping around like a beached octopus. So I have a couple questions. First is she still in a sleep sack?
No. The night that she first slept in that toddler bed, I did away with the sleep sack, and she just now wears footy pajamas.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That answers that question. And she was fine with that. She didn't have any transition with that. Okay. Next question. Have you completely like baby-proofed her room then, since she has like free access?
I immediately anchored her dresser to the wall because she likes to open the drawers, and I'm just terrified of that thing falling on her. I've done the very, very great job of child-proofing her closet by putting painter's tape over the doors so she can't open. It's a terrible system. It needs like some kind of lock or something, because I think she could get into some stuff that might topple on her in the closet. And I've just been keeping an eye on, there's like one exposed outlet that I have a couple things plugged into. And I've just been kind of keeping my eye on it, and to see if she's curious about it or if that's going to be something she's going to mess with. And so far, it isn't. Really, she wakes up and just wants to come to the door and come like see us. So far, so good. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. I got a cool thing for my living room, which was, it's like a plate. So it's like a extension cord plate, if that makes sense. So you plug in this baby-proofing plate that just smooths over the outlet, makes it look like it's completely covered. And there's one wire that comes out of it that you secure to the wall, and then it's like an extension cord. Ooh. So you can go put it in a cabinet or somewhere that's actually out of the way and plug your stuff into that. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
But it was actually a pretty cool solution to the problem we had, because we did have just one outlet in the living room that he was super interested in, and we just have to use it. Like, we can't just cover it up. And I found this thing, and I was like, oh, cool, perfect.
Ah, another example of someone else had that problem and someone made a solution for it.
Yep, exactly. So maybe that would work for you too. You could get it behind the dresser or something.
Yeah, I love that idea. Yeah. I will say, I am like making it seem like this was so easy and everything, but this week we've also been struggling with her waking up at 5 a.m. every day. And
do you think it's related?
The crazy thing is, it started before we made this Actually, the day I made the transition, she had woken up at 5 a.m. that day, and we thought it was a fluke and whatever, you know. And she's just had a really hard time sleeping late enough lately. And we're trying to figure that one out, because I it's one of those things that made me insecure. Like, should I put the thing back on? Will it make her sleep more? And Steve and I talked about it. We're like, I really don't think it's the toddler bed, because she really seems cozy in there and she seems fine with it. So this week I've noticed she's also like started jumping like off the ground with off her little trampoline with 2 feet. Like she wasn't able to do that before, like get air.
Yeah.
And she's learning to spin in a circle. And of course, her words are exploding. So I'm like, maybe she's going through some kind of physical mental development that's causing these wake ups, or I don't know. So we are still working on that. So maybe I'll have an update next week.
We will find out.
Yes. And that's pretty much our week.
Cool, cool. Well, should we take a break and come back with our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we're back. So our special segment this week is Internet Insanity, where we talk about the weird, silly, shocking things we've found on the internet related to pregnancy and parenting. Shauna, do you want to hit us with something crazy you found on the internet lately?
Yeah. So I think our audience knows that we're a couple of olds, right? A couple of geriatric moms. So this, it may come as no surprise to you guys that I am not very familiar with TikTok. What about you? Okay. Laura, do you have TikTok? Do you use it?
So when I was pregnant with my first, I downloaded TikTok because our friend and fan of the show, Marilyn, is like always up to date on what the kids are doing. And she was like, TikTok.
Okay.
And I had no idea what it was. I was like, what the hell is this? So I downloaded it, tried to figure it out, and gave up.
Okay, good. Oh, well, you're a step ahead of me.
Well, but no, but then a couple months ago, like when the quarantine started and everyone was like, TikTok is saving my life right now. I was like, oh, I'll download it again. So I did, used it for like 2 weeks, then read some article about how it was like super dangerous and taking, you know, like stealing all your data. So I impulse deleted it. And then that's it. That is my TikTok experience. I've never posted a TikTok, and I can't say I like get it.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't totally get it either. It just seems like a platform where people upload videos of themselves doing funny, silly things. Steve uses TikTok a lot. I think he just like passively watches videos for entertainment, and he'll share some stuff with me. So recently he brought to my attention a couple TikTok trends that I wanted to share with you.
And part of TikTok's whole deal is that people like do remixes or whatever they call it. Someone listening is like, oh my God, these old ladies.
But we're
like, you like one person will record a video, and then you can take the audio of that video and like record your own video over it, and then it just like makes these permutations for like a million times, right? So it becomes a thing. Like everyone does the same dance, right, to the same audio,
right?
Whatever.
So they become like trends, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think they go along with hashtags. I'm so old. Anyway, okay, so here is a song. Okay, so what this trend is parents are sitting next to their baby. The baby's in frame and the parent is in frame, and they're holding like a bottle of water or a cup of water. And the song that everyone uses, like remix our video to this song, plays. And as the song plays, like in rhythm to the song, the parent like, quote, accidentally like spills the cup of water on top of the baby's head so Aww. That you can record the reaction of the baby.
Okay.
Okay, so let me play the song. Here we go. Gag it! What you doing with that?
Oh, these little babies. I mean, I know it's like there's nothing actually wrong with it. I'm just like, oh, these poor babies.
I know. That's why I'm like having such a strange reaction to this, because it's like the parents are doing it jokingly. And it, I mean, on one hand, it is hilarious to watch the babies get splashed, and they have all different reactions, right? Some are just like, what? And some are like, ah! And some think it's funny, and it's all different reactions. But I'm also like, oh my God, these poor babies. Just like
Janet Lansbury would not. Approve
no.
of this
no,
TikTok.
No, I don't think she would consider this respectful parenting.
I don't think so.
No, but so the song is like every time the singer's like, oh, you know, the parent like pretends like that's shaking their body so that the water goes psh, and spills out over onto the baby. So it's just, I don't know. The things that our poor children in this day and age have to succumb to because of our addiction to social media and things like this. It's like, even our own kids, I'm like, we talk about them on the podcast all the time, but what are they going to think when they're older?
It's always a conflict for me because I'm like, oh God, I hope we're not talking about anything that's going to embarrass them like crazy when we're older. I mean, that's the reason we don't use their real names at the very least, because we don't want to at least, you know, we want to at least have that little bit of a barrier for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think hopefully for us, the difference is we try to approach it respectfully, and we're not putting them into situations that would make them uncomfortable just for content.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, a little water splash on your head is really not, it's not child abuse. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing that's going to damage them permanently. It's just, do you remember there was the cheese? Was it like the cheese challenge? The cheese on your face challenge?
I think it was Cheerios, because I was just going to mention that. It was like the baby's sleeping or something, and the parent sees how many like Cheerios they can stack on their forehead.
Oh, no. This was the cheese. Like, they were throwing pieces of American cheese, like slices of cheese. I'm going to look this up and send it to you.
Oh, you have to. I don't know what this is or why anyone would do this.
Yeah, okay. So it was like, So people were like throwing pieces of American cheese on their children's face.
I'm sorry, I just watched the clip. That really is not respectful, but it is funny.
I mean, I get
like
it.
It's a person laughing.
Well, no, it's like slapstick comedy, right? But the problem is like,
they're an unwitting participant.
Who's the butt of the joke?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the reactions can, like, most of the reactions are just like, what? You know, like, what is this? But that reminds me, this is sort of in the same vein, right? You're just doing something funny. And I get it. We're bored. We're home all the freaking time.
I know.
Like, but I remember seeing this and thinking, like, that was a bridge too far for me, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't about to do that. So, well, I do like this one baby who picks it off his face and starts eating it, though.
Oh,
that's a good one.
See, brilliant. There you go. Free snack. Oh, my God. I see him. How cute. That's so cute. Well, here's a TikTok trend that you might be into.
Okay.
Laura. This one is moms filming their baby's reaction when they show them their boobs.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes. And here's the song it goes to.
Drop them out, let me see them titties, gonna take along with those tiggle bitties.
Oh my
God. Of course
God.
The song, that song exists. Great.
Of course.
Oh my gosh, this first baby has bright red hair.
I know, he's so cute. So basically, like, they drop everything, stare agog. This seems to be the trend, and then just kind of make their way, make a beeline for the boobs, if you will.
I've definitely taken a video like this. I didn't know that I could put it to a slightly offensive song. but
the world's your oyster, Laura. Get to it.
I mean, we're still nursing, so I think it would work. I mean, right now, he's old enough that, like, I'm like, baby, do you know what time it is? And he goes, boo-boo time.
So that's right. That would be a great addition.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's one more TikTok trend I wanted to mention because I actually think this one's really cute and sweet, and it's hashtag cuddle challenge.
Uh-huh.
And like, let's say your toddler is watching TV or something, or, you know, not really engaged at the moment with you.
Yes.
And then you kind of just like slowly lean down and rest your head in the toddler's lap.
Aww.
And get their reaction to that. And that's really cute because, like, the little kids are often surprised and then, like, give, you know, their mommies, give their parents a big hug and kisses. And it's really cute. And I kind of want to try that one. Yeah.
Will you send that to me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because when my guy, I mean, I have to admit, we play him some television these days. Sorry, American Academy of Pediatrics. But we are in a quarantine, and sometimes I have to do stuff other than be right in my baby's face. So, and when he wants to watch his Elmo, he wants to watch his Elmo, and he is just like zoned, you know, like, we'll like wave our hands in front of his face.
Oh, and the whole rest of the world just stops when that TV's on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Let's see.
Okay, I'm going to watch this one.
Oh, that's so sweet.
This one, this girl barely took her eyes off the screen, but oh, there she's like, Daddy. Oh, that's so cute. I just want to do that every day now.
I know. I'm going to try. I definitely think we should, even though I'm not on TikTok, we should do this and post them on our Instagram. See what happens.
I think we should too. Hashtag cuddle challenge.
Yeah, I bet it's all over Instagram. I feel like there's so much overlap too in the social medias, you know? Like, I watch TikToks that other people post on Instagram. So, like, it's not that I don't watch TikToks. I'm just being stupid about it. Like, I could just watch it on a normal platform, but no.
Yes. Oh, this baby girl straight up pushed her mom's face away.
The one with the pink bow?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to watch that. Let's see.
Okay.
She's so cute. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Mom's trying to cuddle in. No, thank you, Mom. You're in my way.
Oh, my God.
So cute. Oh, my gosh. So okay, we'll do this and post cute. Videos.
Yes, let's do. Okay. So that's mine. Just a lot of fun, odd entertainment from TikTok. Maybe I'll download the app and actually enjoy the entertainment the way it should be consumed.
Or be like me, download it, delete it, download it, delete it. Maybe I'll download it again.
Have a love-hate relationship with it. Okay, Laura, what do you got for us? What's your internet insanity?
Okay, so mine is Facebook.
Oh,
and I spent, well, not Facebook itself, although, you know, it is its own thing. But I find myself spending way too much time on Facebook, probably because we're old, like you mentioned.
Exactly.
And, you know, we have a pregnancy and parenting podcast. I'm interacting on our community group a lot. I'm in all these different moms groups. And so Facebook has picked up on the fact that I am a certain demographic. I am a mom and I like mom things. And so in addition to all the mom style ads that they play for me, they've also started like recommending content for me. Right.
Oh,
they recommend videos and stuff. I'm always like getting recommended videos and whatnot in my feed. Right. So I've noticed this trend, which is driving me crazy and really pissing me off with Facebook, which is somehow the algorithm. So do you know if you like click into a video, it'll like autoplay another video afterwards if you're in like the right view? It doesn't always happen.
Yes.
But if you're in the right view in the app, it's like kind of grayed out. Everything else is grayed out. You're watching a video. Once that video ends, it'll like scroll up and start playing another video for you, right?
Right.
So recently, I have noticed that when I watch a video that I chose to watch, like something a friend posted that I like clicked on and intentionally watched, usually, you know, something political or something, you know, whatever, it'll auto-scroll to something it thinks that I'm interested in that's like mom-related, except they're all freaking traumatic ass stories that I don't want to see. Okay, I have three examples. Ready? The first one was like the title was something like, "This is the most dramatic rescue you'll ever see," right? And of course, you're like, well, shit, I can't not watch it, right?
They hooked you. I mean, maybe they know their audience well.
And so it's a video of a house fire, an apartment fire.
Yeah.
I don't remember where. And there's like a fire on the second story. And the mom has a two-year-old and she throws the two-year-old off the balcony into the arms of like a guy who is like a high school or college like football champion. And he like did this running dive and caught the two-year-old and saved the two-year-old.
Oh, my God.
That is cool, right? That is amazing. And that's why I was like, wow, I got to watch this. And then just a little like side note at the end, they were like, but then the mother went back inside because her 8-year-old was still in there. Unfortunately, the mother didn't make it. And it was like, wait, what? Like, so I literally just saw this woman's like last moments with her kid. And then like, thankfully, the 8-year-old was like rescued by someone else. But I'm just like, I see this right before bed.
No.
But I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, way to bury the lead. That needs a trigger warning. I mean,
right?
God, and especially before like, bed.
It wasn't in the description or anything. It was just like amazing save. It's like no, like this is awful. Okay, that's one. Another thing. I was watching some cute thing about like, you know, funny things babies say or whatever. I was watching something very sweet. Auto scroll to like a Good Morning America story about some person who I don't even remember who they are. They're some, I think they were on one of the Real Housewives or something. And they had a home labor and their newborn died after the home labor.
Oh my God. You can't follow up a cute baby video with that.
And I'm just sitting there newly pregnant watching this thing being like, you know, they have all these videos and photos and they talk about like, you know, all the details of it. And I was just like, and I should know to click away. But it's like, once you get started, it's so hard.
I was going to say, just click away, Laura. Click away.
It's so hard to not to like look away from an accident, right? Like,
I know.
And then the final traumatizing thing was like watching some cute cat video, most likely, because I do that a lot. And then it auto scrolls to a segment from like the Today Show or something. But it turns out it was about like pool safety and it was interviewing this mother whose 3-year-old drowned within 2 minutes of her like turning around so fast. And it's just like, it can happen to you, it can happen to anyone. And I'm just like, stress. Like, this is not helpful. There should be a way to filter that stuff out.
Yeah, I agree. And this is why the internet and social media can be so anxiety producing.
Yes.
Because it's just this hyper concentrated serving up of the absolute worst things that could happen in life. And so you're like, oh my God, well, my kid could drown and I could burn and I could do this and I could do this.
And the thing is, like, I'm well aware of these problems already. You know,
yes,
like,
exactly.
I get that we want to do education, and I think drowning education is really important. Mm-hmm. But I know already, mm-hmm. you know, like, and I just don't need to have the. I'm a person, I catastrophize. I have anxiety. I definitely have, like, thoughts that will spiral into the worst case scenarios, mm-hmm. always. And this is the type of stuff I have to protect myself from because when I see it, it sticks. I have that like kind of sticky brain where it doesn't go away. And mm-hmm. I just get so pissed off because I try to protect myself from that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had to stop watching The Walking Dead years ago, well before I had kids, because mm-hmm. I couldn't, the visuals of that, even though I knew it was all fake and fantasy, like I couldn't get rid of it. And I know now how to protect myself from that stuff. Especially right before bed. Mm-hmm. But then Facebook auto-scrolls on me.
Oh, and you have to watch.
I don't have to watch. I need to stop looking at Facebook like at 6 p.m. or something. I was doing that for the longest time at the mm-hmm. beginning of the quarantine, and that really helped. It's crept back in, you know?
Yeah, it's something to do to pass the time. I can't watch videos on social media very much anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just like, I think it's the abruptness of sound suddenly coming out of a quiet phone or something. Mm-hmm. I just always find it so like, ugh. So I try to not watch that stuff. So yeah, maybe just don't watch any more videos.
Well, I tend to watch on like mute with the closed captioning on or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I should just avoid videos. I honestly should just find something else to do. The last week or so, I've been reading something fairly benign, like it's a graphic novel mm-hmm. before bed about travels. And so it's like,
there you go.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do that mm-hmm. instead. Yeah. But I don't know. Have listeners, I'm curious if you've ever gotten automatically served some distressing content.
I want to see now what Facebook serves me. Can I check and see like what they've pinned me as?
Sure. Just find a video, scroll to the end and see what comes up next.
Okay, here's one. Very cute. Hilarious baby reaction to everything. Aw. Aw, little sweetie sneezes. Oh, there's a bunch of babies. Okay. Getting to the end. Next. Have you heard about the donut thief? Oh, it's another cute kid. Oh, they're telling their baby about the donut thief that goes around to people's houses and robs donuts. Okay, that's not traumatizing.
I've never heard of that one.
Really. Let's see, what's next? Next video. My daughter was trying to get my phone's passcode for her mommy. Laura, I don't know. I think it's something about your Facebook habits or something. Why are you getting served up trauma? I'm getting served up cute kids.
Maybe it's because I click on like newsy videos and they think I'm interested in newsy videos. Or maybe it was like the one time I clicked on something traumatizing. They're like, she must like to be traumatized before bed. Here you go. Have another one.
Oh my God. Well, maybe it's because I searched cute babies. Here, I searched kids. Here's kids and turkeys. That's funny. Oh my God, kids and turkeys. You guys, Google it, Facebook it. Very funny. What's next? Okay. Oh, okay. This is interesting, Laura.
Hmm.
Driver makes critical error when loading excavator.
What?
That sounds traumatic. I don't have time to watch that whole video, and I don't want Facebook to learn that I'm into that kind of thing.
Yeah, don't do it.
But
stick with
the
babies and turkeys.
Yeah, baby, kids and turkeys. That's where it's at. Well, that's weird, Laura. I'm sorry they're serving you up trauma. That's not cool.
Not cool, Facebook. Not cool.
Not cool at all.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I want to hear if anyone else is having this experience or if it's just my messed up algorithm.
Yeah. Let us know. Let us know. Anyway, should we take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
All right, we're back and we've got our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Lori, you're up first. What do you got for us?
I have a BFP.
Okay.
Which is Descanso Gardens.
Oh, I love it there.
La Cañada, Flint Ridge. So it's just north of Los Angeles. It's near Glendale and Pasadena. It's super easy to get to from like downtown Los Angeles. And I have been there once before with you.
Oh, for the Christmas lights?
For the Christmas lights. They mm-hmm. They do this really cool thing. I guess they're not doing it this year because of the epidemic, but they usually like light up the whole gardens with these really cool like light installations mm-hmm. and that was super fun. We went when Elle was like a little.
Yeah, she was like less than a year.
But I knew it existed, but I never went because I already had a membership to this other botanical gardens that's even closer to me called Huntington, which mm-hmm. I've talked about. And I just recently went back this week because I am desperate for places to go with my toddler right now. And I realized that while Huntington opens at 10 a.m., which is like not enough time to like go and come back for a toddler who naps around 12.
Oh, right.
Descanso opens for members at 8 a.m.,
ooh,
which is awesome because mm-hmm. you can go and really spend time there. And it's super shaded, which is really nice mm-hmm. and just really, really pretty. And the membership was, I want to say, like $80-something for a year. And that's mm-hmm. for like unlimited entry. They don't require, right now at least, they don't require reservations to go if you're a member. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's social distancing and wearing masks. And it was just lovely. And I was so excited to have another place to go. So we've been like 3 times this week.
Good.
Since we got our membership. Yeah. That's so if you're in the LA area, I highly recommend it.
Is it very crowded, though?
No.
I would love to go to a place like that, but, you know, I'm a little worried about the social distancing and everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, people are really, I mean, in my opinion, to my sort of level of risk tolerance, people are being really respectful, staying 6 feet apart. Everyone is wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's required for entry, but people are really respecting it. You know, I didn't see people like pulling them down as they were walking around or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's, they require reservations if you're not a member, but if you're a member, it's sort of a free for all. Mm-hmm. And I think the earlier you go, the fewer people there are.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably during the week too.
Yeah. But it's also huge. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of space to spread out. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't feel weird about it at all.
That's awesome. Oh, that sounds dreamy. I want
to
go.
I'd love to meet up there with you one of these days.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yes.
We'll talk about it. Okay. But yeah, but I'm sure people in other areas, there are probably botanical gardens available to you right now. So mm-hmm. give it a look in your area. It might be worthwhile getting a membership.
Yay. I'm so glad that they're able to stay open during this time. What a wonderful place for people to get out and,
totally.
You know, just see some nature and beauty.
So yeah, that's my BFP. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yay. It is kinetic sand.
Ooh, that stuff is cool.
I love it. So I bought a few sensory items to entertain my kids during quarantine, mm-hmm. and this was one of them. I'd never touched it before, played with it, but I, you know, came highly recommended on Amazon, highly rated. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. Oh my God, I think maybe I love this stuff even more than my kids do. It's so cool. So if you aren't familiar with kinetic sand, it's sand, basically, that's coated with silicone oil. I did not know that. I had to look it up, what the ingredient is.
Yeah, but, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, and when you play with it, it's like it sticks to itself when like pressure's applied to it. So it's really great at molding into like little molds. We have like little sandcastle molds. I have a set of like baking molds, you know, it's like little pieces of pie and cookies and all, you know, so we make little desserts with kinetic sand. Uh-huh. It's fun to just hold in your hands and it kind of drips out. Elle always says, it's alive, because it does. It looks alive, but it sticks together and it doesn't stick to your hands. And it's like pretty easy to clean up because if you take a ball of it and just like press it all over the table onto all the little, you know, awry pieces, the pieces uh-huh. that have gone awry, it kind of sucks it up. And it's, I don't know, it's very fun and meditative. I love squishing this stuff into molds and then like releasing them and seeing like perfect little like pyramids and castles. And the kids love it too, obviously. Even Cece, she's young for it. You know, she doesn't totally get it, but she really likes mm-hmm. playing with it. And she especially likes smashing all of the things that we've made with our
molds. I bet, yeah.
Molds.
I'm just concerned that my guy would just put it in his mouth.
Yes, that is a concern, definitely, because even though it says it's non-toxic, I don't think it's the best thing for kids yeah. and pets to eat. So you got to keep an eye out for that. Luckily, Cece's not shown any interest in eating it. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
It kind of reminds me of, I haven't played with it that much because we don't have it, but I've played with it at our friend Jen's house when mm-hmm. she got it for her son. And it reminds me of like a dry version of when you mix cornstarch and water together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, have you ever done that?
I haven't
made
done
that goop?
But I can, yeah, I can picture it. Mm-hmm.
It makes like a polymer, I think. So what it is it's liquid if you're gentle with it. And if you like are firmer with it, it's solid.
Right.
So it's like a really weird sort of in between sensation, uh-huh. you know. I tried making that for my toddler and he was just not like, I think it was a little bit over his head, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I Yeah, it kind of has that similar sensation. Like if you're gentle with it, it just like drips through your hand. But if you grab it, it's solid.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to try making that. I also noticed online that you can make kinetic sand at home, a DIY, with sand, dish soap, cornstarch, and food coloring if you want to make it colored. So it could also be a cool project. I just bought it as is from Amazon, and the brand I like, we've tried a couple different ones, and the brand I like, we'll make sure to link if you want to check it out too. It's really fun. And I have to say, I hate sand. I really hate it. I have always refused to put a sandbox in the backyard. You know, other friends have had them for their kids. And I'm just like, no. It goes everywhere. It gets tracked in the house. It like annoys me when the girls come home with sand in their shoes. Yeah. You know, I just hate it. And I love this stuff because it is contained. It's fun to play with. It's great. So highly recommend.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure to post that in our show notes.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I think, is that our show?
I think it is.
Amazing.
All right. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have any internet insanities you've come across recently or any BFPs or BFNs to share? Please reach out. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. Please answer the two questions we have there to make sure you're not a bot. And we will add you to our private community where you can join in on all our really fun conversations we're having in there. You can also send us an email or voice memo to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com or go to bigfatpositivepodcast.com for more info.
If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen if you haven't done so yet. It's so helpful for us to give people that confidence to give our show a try. That's so helpful. Thank you. And spread the word. If you know someone who's trying to conceive, pregnant, new parent, let them know about our show. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.